The latest attempt by the U.S. government to thwart natural market forces takes many forms. The markets, and indeed the economy, are trying to correct the excesses of too much debt, and therefore consumers are finally saving again for the first time in a decade or more. The average U.S. citizen was knee-deep in debt and under some impression that saving for retirement was unnecessary as he witnessed house and stock prices rise to unprecedented levels, thinking that the increases in those assets would fund their golden years. Now that housing and stock prices corrected, the consumer is saving again, trying to pay off all this debt he accumulated over the last 20-year free-for-all. Savings is a good thing, if you recall, but it also means he won't be spending as much, and the government will have none of that. After all, we have to get the banks lending again, so we can all get borrowing again, and go into more hock with our banking masters, so they can start making billions again. Although the government programs to entice you and I into borrowing run the gamut, the most successful debt trap lately, besides the housing credit, that is cash for clunkers, which has already reeled in over 300,000 of you, convincing those to take on even more debt under the guise of buying a better and more fuel-efficient car. But let's look at this idiotic program for what it really is. It was conceived as a way to bail out our auto industry, the same industry that can't seem to make a buck in the most lucrative market in the world. These albatross companies can't seem to get out of their own way over the last 50 years and literally burned through billions of dollars, losing money the whole way. With the downturn in the economy, they went broke and then crawled to the taxpayers for almost $50 billion worth of bailouts. That wasn't enough, apparently, so the cash for clunkers bill was to ensure some damn fool would buy their junk, and the government backstopped the whole fiasco to entrap greater fools into grinding up perfectly good cars that were probably fully paid for, only to take on even more debt in the form of a new car loan. Look, if we consumers wanted to buy new cars, we would have bought them, but we didn't. We wanted to save our money. But the government doesn't think you and I can decide where and what to spend our money on. They want to guide your thinking into buying something the auto companies make, even if it means you going into more debt. And if you spend your money where they want you to, by enticing you with free credits, you won't be saving it, even though it looked like that's what we wanted to do. Save our money and not spend it on autos. Anyway, let's take a look at who owns these clunkers. You can bet the lower income levels are the ones taking the bait for the most part, envisioning themselves driving around in brand new cars as they lose their house to foreclosure. These poor souls will take the government's bait, trade in their probably fully paid for cars, and encumber themselves to another $15,000 in new car loans, enslaving themselves even further to the banks, as they now must borrow what the government won't pay in the clunkers bill. The car companies can claim they're selling new cars now, even if it is taxpayer money being used, and their partner banks get new blood to suck from its victims, as few folks trading in a clunker can probably afford to pay cash for the car anyway, and will have to borrow the money. You Save the Planet types out there ought to be thrilled to see us grind up, in most cases, fully paid for and probably perfectly good running cars, literally grinding up and throwing away tons of steel and resources so we can waste more steel and plastic and resources on these new cars, all so the banks and the auto companies can make a profit. The poor slobs taking on even more debt will be further enslaved for another 10 years or more, as the $20 or $30 a month they may save in gas money will only pay itself back to the owner in gas saved over a period of 10 or 20 years or more. Do the math. In most cases, the mileage requirement for the rebate amounts to literally pennies in savings only, and some of the larger truck trade-ins don't even have a mileage requirement. That was a little tidbit thrown in by the U.S. car companies. Our SUV U.S. manufacturers begged Congress to lift the mileage requirement on certain sized vehicles so they could sell their larger SUVs and trucks. Throw in the resources, gas, energy, steel, plastic, paint, and all the energy consumed to get the workers to the factories and to run the factory machines, and the energy payback is a joke. The program will probably consume more energy than it saves, but what the heck? As long as Joe Sixpack gets his new car and ends up owing another $15,000 or $20,000 to the blood-sucking banks, and the auto execs get to keep their jets, and Congress gets to point to another successful government handout, it's all good, right? The views and opinions expressed on this newscast are opinions and my opinions only and may not necessarily reflect those of KVMRH staff or underwriters. And I'll be at the fair at noon Pacific Standard Time at the KVMR booth broadcasting Money Matters this Thursday. Stop by the Nevada County Fair. I'll hang around after the show to meet and greet. I'm Mark Cuniberti for this Money Matters Minute on KVMR FM.